Radical love, lavish generosity, extravagant forgiveness, inclusive hospitality, compassionate action, selfless service, a passion for justice, creative nonviolence, and simple living. Good day, good people. I'm Robert Farrell. This is Coalesce. Thank you for joining me. Coalesce is grounded in both and thinking, heart wisdom, and listening for the common good arising in dialogue, where we are present to presence. Coalesce provides an opportunity to encounter and discover the multiple perspectives that make our beautiful community. May we see with the eyes of our heart. May we love one another with peace and compassion. May all beings come to know the divine presence within. This is episode 1, Union of the Soul with God. From birth through the development of ego, the fall that can drop us into the second half of life, the descent through suffering and grief, ever evolving us towards greater awareness of our true self, and eventually death, we are moving toward union with God and all that is. Studies of development have shown a commonality to the evolution of our growth. Here's a schema of 9 stages. 1, my body and my self-image are who I am. 2, my external behavior is who I am. 3, my thoughts and feelings are who I am. 4, my deeper intuitions and felt knowledge in my body are who I am. 5, my shadow self is who I am. 6, I am empty and powerless. 7, I am much more than who I thought I was. 8, I and the Father are one. 9, I am who I am. The ego's temptation is to assign itself to a higher level, and labels are inherently divisive, getting in the way of union. It's useful to have a map which can help us understand ourselves and others with greater compassion. Hopefully, we are sharing a guide for approaching the shared human experiences of love and loss. We each move at our own pace, mostly very slowly, with many stumblings and regressions, yet at every stage we see grace, that unearned love and growth, is at work. It's not primarily up to us. Life is living itself within us, even in spite of us. We are simply invited to join in the dance with our intention and desire to allow grace to flourish all the more freely and abundantly. And as we practice being conscious in our loving, we find an always available love becoming our most foundational way of being. It's one thing to read any spiritual text. It's quite another to integrate the teachings into your very being. So please take all of what I say deeper than mere intellectual understanding. Perhaps in some or all of these 5 ways. 1, contemplative practice. Contemplation is a laboratory in which we learn to die and to be reborn. The rest of your life becomes the field in which you live out this way of surrender and participation in love. Commit to a daily practice of some kind, silent meditation, yoga, chanting, or maybe some other spiritual practice. Sabbath is the second way. So set aside regular longer periods of quiet or retreat, simply to rest in awareness of God's presence. Find a rhythm of rest and work that allows for renewal so that you enter your active life from contemplative grounding. 3, service. allow the natural welling up of love to flow outward in acts of justice, healing, and compassion. Life is not about you. You are about life. 4. Shadow work. The task of searching out and embracing shadow, those parts of yourself that you hide or ignore, is ongoing work, the work of a lifetime. Let the people and circumstances that push your buttons be your teachers. Look for yourself with a loving gaze in the mirror of both your enemies and those who enthrall you. And the 5th way is spiritual direction. If you do not have someone to guide you, to hold on to you during the times of not knowing, you will normally stay at your present level of growth. So seek out a sacred companion you can trust to be honest and present to your journey, who can reflect back to you God's presence in your life and the world. There are many ways of opening your full being, heart, mind, and body. It's never something you achieve, but always a gift awaiting your awareness and receptivity. May you grow in your awareness of God's presence everywhere and always. Let's pause for a mindful moment to sit with what our hearts, mind, body, and soul have encountered thus far. With eyes closed and hands on heart, rest in silence. Be still for 1 minute. T.S. Eliot writes, "We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to encounter where we started and know the place for the first time. We return where we began, to the eternal embrace of divine love. We were formed by original blessing, but we've heard so often the story of original sin that we have to be reminded of our beginnings in beauty and union." Rob Bell shares how the Christian creation narrative is uniquely hopeful. The creation poem in Genesis 1 is a confrontive story, portraying something radically different than the common creation stories of its time. Rather than violence and destructions, the Genesis mythos shows overflowing joy and creativity. Knowing we began as an expression of God's desire for relationship allows us to trust that life is headed somewhere good, into new forms of love, making itself known, wanting all things in a whole and expanding universe. As one Pauline translation puts it, "The whole of creation is standing on tiptoe to see the full revelation of the children of God." You can see this in Romans 8:19. The story ends where it begins, in life, now even in life more abundantly, as John 10:10 says, "This life came from nowhere, creation ex nihilo, and now has my name upon it. Has your name upon it." From death, the small dyings to the false self, and eventually physical death, comes resurrection into our true self, who we have been all along but have simply forgotten. As you look back at on a year almost ended and forward to a year almost about to begin, recall the ways in which God has been inviting you to return again and again to love, which is the same as returning to God. It is important to consider the individuals, traditions, and texts that shape our worldview and spirituality. Having a solid and clear epistemology, how we know the things we know, is important, or we are subject to the whims and fancies of any teacher. Wisdom comes from a combination of inner and outer authority, drawn from personal experience and a long lineage of the perennial tradition, as Aldous Huxley, Houston Smith, Ken Wilber, and many others called it. I don't believe God expects us to start from zero and reinvent the wheel of faith in our one small lifetime. Thankfully, we each participate in the communion of saints, the force field of the Holy Spirit. This great tradition, the perennial philosophy, has developed through the ages and is an inherent gift, an inherited gift. It is quite unfortunate that most of us confuse our own rather recent customs with tradition, and a mere 500 years inside of one denomination or culture is still recent custom. The perennial tradition points to recurring themes and truths within all the world's religions. At their most mature level, religions cultivate deeper union with God, with each other, and with reality, with what is. The work of religion is to religio, to religament, or reunite what our egos and survival instincts have put asunder, namely a fundamental wholeness of the heart of everything, namely a fundamental wholeness at the heart of everything. Together we can retrieve and relearn the wisdom that has been lost, ignored, or misunderstood within the Judeo-Christian and perennial traditions. That many people cannot be wrong. Again, let us pause for a mindful moment to sit with what our hearts, mind, body, and soul have encountered thus far, with eyes closed and hands on heart. Rest in silence. Be still for 1 minute. The formation of faith is an ever-growing and deepening understanding of divine reality and our own reality. We see this mirrored in Scripture, as the text itself usually takes 3 steps forward and 2 steps back. We get a moment of big revelation. It is by definition always too much for the small self, and so we backtrack and recoil. Texts themselves reveal each level of consciousness and reassert boundaries, needed violence, self-importance, exclusion, and almost anything rather than really trusting an infinite love. At times in religion's history, God has been portrayed as merely tribal, vindictive, smaller than we are, and judgmental to the core. But running throughout our sacred text, traditions, and experience is the other thread of God's desire for union, inclusivity, nonviolence, trust, patience and healing. Hopefully, we will add to this positive momentum of spiritual evolution. Each of us have our limitations and biases, and any approach to union will always be through a particular set of lenses. That cannot not be. My lenses aren't necessarily better than others. All each of us can do is own and expose our biases, because we all have them. You do too. There is no such thing as a value-free or unbiased position on anything. As Saint Joan of Arc prayed, "If I am in your truth, God, keep me there. If I am not, God, put me there." Any spiritual lineage has about many building blocks. So let's begin with the first Bible, creation itself. God has revealed who God is through what is. In Romans 1:20, it says, "Ever since the creation of the world, God's everlasting power and glory, however invisible, has been there for the mind to see in the things he has made." From nature, let's turn to the Hebrew scriptures, particularly the prophets, who call us to be self-critical and inclusive. The prophets then prepare us to understand the radical challenge of Jesus' teaching in life, who is a point of synthesis, who unites all before and after. We can go on and map a lineage from the Apostle Paul, the desert fathers and mothers, the more inclusive wisdom of the patristic period of the early Eastern Church, the Franciscan tradition, interpretations of reality such as art and myth, the non-dual mysticism that is always emerging at the higher levels of every religion, the wisdom of nonviolent teachers and social activists, and in the last century, the brilliant psychology of Carl Jung. Now, we also have the growing scientific evidence pointing to patterns of love and entanglement throughout the universe. We can also include the 12-step program, which represents the best of American spirituality, offering a very practical way of living the gospel. And we can also include spiral dynamics, or integral theory, as Ken Wilber calls it, which charts the growth of human consciousness throughout history and human development. If truth is one, and you can see Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6, we must recognize we are all approaching that one divine truth from different angles, with different needs and different errors, and with different starting points. But the final goal is the same. Unity is not the same as uniformity, and so prayerfully we can find and emphasize the essentials so clearly that we can then easily see what the non-essentials are. The confusion between essentials and non-essentials, between means and ends, is the most common mistake of religious people in all religions, clergy and laity alike. We each must find our own way. Nothing else is possible. But it is also helpful to have reference to the common path so that we know we are not alone and our ideas are not just our own, but from the one Holy Spirit. Individualism is the bane of much postmodern soul work. If we can remember that we all came from God and are headed back to God, whatever circuitous route we take, I think it will help us be more humble and patient with each other. We all have our preferred symbols, rituals, scriptures, and words for things, but let's not ever let them get in the way of what they are all pointing to and leading us toward: union of the soul with God. So one more time, let us pause for a mindful moment to sit with what our hearts, mind, body, and soul have encountered thus far. With eyes closed and hands on heart, rest in silence. Be still for 1 minute. Dear friends, to accompany this podcast, you'll find on the website a note sheet. It will include some terms that I've used, scripture references, and a practice. We cannot move into deeper ways of being in the world just by understanding things intellectually. We have to step into practice. So to accompany this episode, I leave you with this practice. Take some time to chart your own journey and lineage. Think about what traditions have formed you, what individuals, authors, and experiences have shaped your view of God and reality. Find the best within them that resonates with your inner knowing of God. Forgive and let go of those pieces that are not consistent with a benevolent God, and keep following your path toward deeper union. May the longtime sun shine upon you, all love surround you, and the pure light within you guide your way on.